Good morning. It's so good to see everyone here today, especially those who are visiting with us. We're so glad you've come to be with us this morning. Every chance you have in the future, we hope you'll come back and see us again. We hope you feel very welcome here at Veterans Parkway. As read earlier from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 was part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 13, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." We as Christians, as disciples, as he was talking to his disciples at that time, he tells them that he expects them to be salt of the earth. Abraham Lincoln once said, "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." You know, because Lincoln lived his life according to that philosophy, he wasn't always the most popular person. But real conviction doesn't concern itself with popularity. And this idea of us being the salt means that we're going to be different. It means we're going to be different than the world around us, and that means we may not be popular for that all the time. Lincoln is now considered one of the greatest men in history because he dared to speak his mind on the issues, even when it went against popular opinion. I think it's important for us as Christians today to live by that principle and be willing to stand for what is right, regardless of the consequences. To stand for what is true, to stand for God, so that we will make a difference. And by doing so, we will have an influence on those around us in a positive way. In other words, we're going to be the salt, or we're going to be the light that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 5. It's important for every member of the Lord's church to realize a sense of duty and speaking up for things and doing the things that are right and godly and righteous and being different in a positive way. Because God calls us to be the salt and He calls us to be the light. You know, the Scriptures give us many examples of those who, as we'll say, were salty. Many people who stood up and made a difference, even against others, when others weren't willing to do it. There were many examples that we can look at throughout the Scriptures of those who stood up, and because they did and stood for what was right, they made a difference. I think about David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you turn back there, we see that David was facing Goliath, the mighty Philistine giant. And you all probably remember that story. But we know that David at that time, verse 11, it says, though the Israelite army, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were afraid of this Philistine giant. And no one wanted to go and battle this giant. They were scared. They were frightened. They didn't have the courage to make a stand and do what was right. But David was different. In verse 32, David was willing to stand up and be counted and to make a difference. And he tells Saul there in verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." When no one else was willing to do it, when everyone else was scared, David said, "I'll do it. I'll stand up and make a difference. I will be the influence for good," when no one else was willing to. Verse 36, David points out that he had killed both lion and bear. And he says that Goliath would be just like one of those, since he had defied the army of God. David was confident that he would be victorious because he says in verse 47, and here's the key, it wasn't in his own ability. You see, I think the reason everyone else was scared and didn't have the courage was because they were looking at themselves and thinking, "Well, I've got to do it myself." What David said in verse 47 was, "The victory, the battle is the Lord's." He was certain of victory because the battle was the Lord's. One person stand when no one else is willing gave the entire army of Israel a victory over the Philistines. David was willing to stand up and make a difference. One person stand for what is right today can also cause others to be saved from destruction by the influence that they have on others, or that we can have on others. Be salty. David was. He made a difference, stood up when no one else was willing to. Another Old Testament character I think about is Esther. If you go to the book of Esther in chapter 3 and verse 4, and it's an interesting account, I think, of Esther and the Jews, all of whom had been would have been destroyed if not for Esther. And if not for her taking a chance and taking a stand and making a difference. In chapter 3 of Esther, in verse 8, Esther's uncle Mordecai could not bring himself to bow down to Haman, who had been placed over all the princesses under the king. And Haman devises this scheme to get revenge against Mordecai because he wanted everyone bowing down to him, and Mordecai refused to do it. So Haman decides, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get back at him because he's not honoring me. He's not doing what I want him to do. And so he comes up with this scheme to get revenge not only against Mordecai, but really to destroy all the Jews. In verse 13, it tells us of chapter 3, Haman sends out letters to destroy and to kill and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women. And it says to plunder their possessions. Haman, he is upset. And not only is he upset with Mordecai, he's going to take it out on everybody. Who's going to make a difference for this? Well, you go to chapter 4, verse 11, Esther, as queen, could influence the king to do something. But to approach the king, she would be putting her own life in jeopardy. In verse 13 and 14, Mordecai points out to her that what's going to happen if she sits by and does nothing. If she doesn't stand up and make a difference and be an influence for good. And so she decides that she will take that risk to make the stand for what was right. In verse 16, Esther says, and what a remarkable statement this is. She says, I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. She knew the risk. She knew what could happen. But she knew she had to do something, even putting her own life on the line to make a difference. Well, if you continue to read the book of Esther, it's good news because she made a difference because she went to the king. He accepted her and he listened to her. And as a result, Mordecai and the Jews were saved, and in a bit of irony, Haman was hung on the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. If we're afraid to take a risk when we need to speak up for what is right, when we need to be that positive influence, when we need to be that salt and that light, if we are silent, then we can't make a difference for the Lord and His church. We must learn to speak up and be counted and make that difference, to be an influence for good, to be salty. I think also of Joshua, and this is a great example, I think, of this also. In Joshua chapter 24, we see that the Israelites had a weakness, we know, with idolatry and worshiping the gods of the nations around them. And it was kind of a vicious cycle that they would serve God for a while, and then they would go off with idols and, you know, other gods, and then they would repent and come back. But it seemed like that was always a weakness for the Israelites. Joshua is now coming toward the end of his life, and this is really a farewell address, if you will, to the Israelites. And Joshua has seen over the years this weakness that the Israelites has had with worshiping other gods and idolatry. And so in this farewell address to them, as he was older and was about to die, and knowing this temptation that was there, we see in chapter 24, in verse 14 and 15, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And then here's that famous line that we know. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was being salty. He was having a positive influence on the people around him. Because you go on to see in verse 16 through verse 18, the people say, we too will serve the Lord. And Joshua, I think, not too convinced about that. He tells them in verse 19 and 20 that God's a jealous God, and if they choose to serve other gods, that He was going to destroy them. Again, even after they said, we will serve the Lord, Joshua had seen what they had done in the past, and he says, you really need to mean this, because this is what's going to happen. God is a jealous God. It's not going to be good for you if you don't fulfill this commitment you're making right now. And we see the people again say in verse 21, we will serve the Lord. And then verse 24, they tell Joshua again, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey His voice. You see, Joshua's saltiness, he led a positive influence to those people. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And they said, you know what? We are too. We're going to follow the Lord as well. We're going to serve Him. We're going to obey Him. You see the positive influence that Joshua had on others, because he made a stand and he said, I'm going to serve the Lord and my house will serve the Lord. Then the example led others to say and do the same. The salt of the earth. Also think of, we go to the New Testament, we see Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 2. And really not just Acts chapter 2, but really throughout the whole book of Acts, we can see Peter and all the apostles and later on Paul as well, and how they made an influence for good time and time again. But here especially in chapter 2 and verse 36, it points out that some of the ones that were listening on that occasion were the ones who had a part in putting Christ to death, of crucifying the Lord. That's who Peter and the apostles were speaking to that day. Now that was an intimidating audience, I guess, considering that they had already crucified Jesus, and now here Peter and the apostles are pointing the finger at them and saying, this is what you did. But because of that boldness, they made a difference. And the church began that day with 3,000 souls being saved from that audience that they were speaking to. And the Peter and the apostles stood up and proclaimed the truth of the gospel and had a tremendous influence on the crowd that day. And not only that day, but in the days that followed. Throughout the book of Acts, where the apostles are continuing to preach the gospel, continuing to lead people to Christ. And not only the influence they had on the people that heard them then, but the influence that they continue to have even today as we read and study the things that they did and the things that they taught. As we talked about Esther, who risked her life to make a difference, most of the apostles actually gave their lives to make a difference for the gospel, to be an influence for good and to save souls. So what does all this mean for us? Well, we need to be that salt. We need to be that light. We need to be that positive influence for good around us. We need to make a stand. We need to make a difference and be an influence for good. We need Christians who are committed to making that difference, who will be salty and have that positive influence on people around them. We need Christians who are willing to make the commitment of not going along with the crowd or speaking up when no one else is willing to. While it's easy to do nothing, to get along, it's to be popular. It's not as easy when we have to stand and be different. In John 21 and verse 15, we see that Jesus here is talking to Peter. And he asked Peter a question. In fact, he asked the same question over and over again to Peter. And he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? When Jesus asked Peter the third time, it tells us that Peter was grieved. I think Peter may have been tired of playing the game. of saying one thing and doing another. Peter seems to be saying at this point, what do I have to do, Lord, to prove to you that I love you? And Jesus tells him in verse 18 and 19, he says, you must follow me in life and in death. Jesus says, Peter, you need to do something. You need to do something. That's the message that Jesus gives Peter. Make a difference. Don't only say what's right, but do what is right as well. Make a difference, Peter. Be the salt. Be the light. There comes a time when we must get serious about growth and moving forward in our life. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The problem with living sacrifices, I've heard this said before, is that often they try to crawl off the altar. And I think that's a little bit of truth in that. Living sacrifices, that means we must wake up every morning. It's a daily commitment to get up every morning and to be the salt and to be the light. And it's something we have to continuously do. I think there's probably times, though, where we all find ourselves kind of wanting to crawl off the altar and not be that salt or not be that light that day. To not really have that commitment that we should have as the living sacrifice that the Lord wants us to be. There comes a time, though, that we have to stop riding the fence of being almost committed to being completely committed, absolutely committed to the Lord. I think about the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. And Jesus, the message that he gives to them in Laodicea, the church there, is he says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. In other words, you know, they were trying to hang on somewhere in between. They weren't really hot. They weren't really cold. They were somewhere, you know, trying to be neutral. Somewhere in between, not a real commitment. And Jesus says, you'd be better off if you were just completely cold instead of claiming to be something that you're not. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. The Lord says, the one who is not with me is against me. And the one who does not gather with me scatters. Again, there's not room for neutrality in this. You're either for him or you're not. You either make that commitment to make a difference, to be the influence for good, or you're not an influence for good. You're either salty or you're not. You're either with him or you're against him. There's no room for somewhere in the middle. You know, of all the examples we've looked at, those who had an influence for good, we see that they not only said the right things, but their actions followed it. They not only spoke the truth, but they did things for the Lord that made a difference. They were not hypocrites saying one thing and then doing something different. They didn't act one way around some people and around other people act in another way. And you see, we need a life of consistency. Consistent service to the Lord. That's how we keep our saltiness. That's how we make that influence for good. When the world can't see a difference in our lives and theirs, then they're going to trample us over like the hypocrites that we are. Matthew 5 and verse 13, Jesus says, if the salt loses its flavor, he says it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The Lord says, if you're not making this commitment to be an influence for good, then you are useless to me. Powerful statement to think about. It's easy to sit in the church building and sing about Jesus. That's not hard. The question's not how are you doing on Sunday as much as it is how are you doing on Monday morning? Or how are you doing on Saturday night? To have a positive influence, we must be consistent in all areas of our life, wherever we go, whatever we do. And may I add, this includes social media. It's not necessarily, we don't have to leave our house to be an influence for good or evil. You know, we're sitting behind the keyboard. Or maybe if you're on your phone, you have to type with your thumbs, right? But however it is, when we do those things, realize the influence that you're having, positive or negative, with those things. Those things can be good. Those things can also be terribly evil. And they also can leave a stain on our influence to others. Be careful. You know, I've heard that employers, if they're looking to hire somebody now, one of the first things they want to do is go and check out the social media pages, the Facebook, the Twitter, and all those kinds of things, of the person that maybe they're thinking about hiring. To see what kind of person that they are. Well, certainly if employers understand that, when it comes to us and our spiritual life and the example and the influence we're trying to be, think about what that says about us. And can we be an influence on others depending on what's out there on the internet and what we put out there as well? Be careful about that. When we do and say things that are inconsistent with the qualities of being a Christian, when we fail to stand up and speak for what's right, it's when we lose our saltiness, our influence for good. We lose it when we lose that, then we're no longer useful to the Lord. He says we're worthless. And we will not be an influence that can lead others to Christ, which is what our ultimate mission is. I think it's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. So we represent Christ wherever we go. At home, at work, at school, at the grocery store, on vacation, when we're driving down the road, wherever we go, we're a representation of Christ. We're representing Him. We are His ambassador. So as an ambassador for Christ, our influence, whether good or bad, has a great effect on the life of others and how they will view Christ and how they will view the gospel. You see, your life may be the only glimpse of Jesus that some people see. What's the message that they will receive? And while this is a great honor and I believe a great privilege, it is also a tremendous responsibility. We have the responsibility to live our lives and conduct ourselves in a way that brings glory to the one that we represent. So here's your challenge. As you go about your life this week, and every week for that matter, remember who you are. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. So the challenge is, be salty. Be the positive influence for good on everyone that you come in contact with. And when we do that, then we can have the influence to lead others to Christ and to save souls. If you're here this morning as we sing the song of encouragement, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we offer you that opportunity this morning. Come believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. As we said, those on the day of Pentecost, the apostles boldly proclaimed that gospel message, and 3,000 that day believed that message and obeyed and were added to the church. You have that opportunity to do that. this morning as well, and we stand ready to help you. If there's any other need that you may have, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.